what she was grateful for was that her reality changed. That she just thought, this is how it is. And she went and took a risk and it shifted. And this guy shifted in her view of the world and she got a new possibility out of it. So that's what she was grateful for, this learning about herself and how she's run from tough conversations.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have David Wood. He is a tough conversations ninja. After a life of consulting actuary to Fortune 100 companies like Sony Music, Chanel, and Exxon, David built the world's largest coaching business, becoming number one on Google for life coaching. He believes that tough conversations we avoid are our doorways to confidence, success, and even love in both work and life. Alongside his clients' successes, David is no stranger to overcoming challenges himself, having survived a full collapse of his paraglider and a fractured spine, witnessing the death of his sister at age 7, severe anxiety and depression. And I love the fact that he's able to be open about these things and share them with the world. I think this is actually what makes us strong, the fact that we are able to be vulnerable. So, David, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thanks, Georgian. Happy to be here.
My pleasure for having you. And I'm really curious where this conversation will go. So let us know a little bit more about you that I failed to mention.
Well, I think you hit the highlights. I didn't grow up with a lot of self-love. I didn't know what it was. We didn't talk about it. Any judgments that I had, I would hide. I feel like my self-expression was limited, but I didn't know it because everyone else was the same way. But when it came to at school, I didn't stand up to them. When it came to asking girls out, I didn't know how to do it. So when I discovered personal growth and I started to see what was possible, when we started to share our vulnerabilities, we started to admit them, we start to express our desires and take a risk, I got hooked. I was like, this is really great. So I spent the first 27 years of my life working with my left brain and creating systems and results. And an actuary is someone who works with long-term statistics and probability and financial flows and things like that. So I got really good at that. So I'm great at business coaching. But then I spent the last 20 years reclaiming my feelings and developing my emotional intelligence and working out how to connect deeper with other humans. And I found one of the major doorways to connecting deeper with other humans and ourselves is tough conversations. So that's my big passion right now.
I love this. And it's so interesting that I totally agree with the fact that many of the gifts that we have in life are at the end of tough conversations, because when we desire something very much, it can be really hard for us to go for it and to go for that conversation and to receive that gift, because we might feel that we might get rejected or something. I think that's so interesting.
The tough conversations, like when we do have them, they become the defining moments of our relationships, our careers, and our lives. But when we don't have them, either because we're afraid, which is natural, or because we haven't identified them, they're just kind of lurking there, waiting to happen. When we don't have them, they form the boundaries of our reality, the boundaries of our world. And if we're willing to go and take a risk and have that conversation, sometimes reality shifts. We thought that person was a jerk and now they're not. Or we thought it wasn't possible. I go into prisons training and we thought it wasn't possible to get audiovisual equipment. And I just thought, well, let's go and ask. I went and asked and she's like, I'll do you one better. I'll go and get you. I have it right here in the room. We didn't know that. When we have the tough conversations, our reality can actually alter. What we thought the world was like changes. And in my experience, it expands. Mm-hmm. So I'm encouraging people to go in that direction.
Beautiful. And could you share with us, whether from your own experience or from the experience of working with other people, some of the gifts, some of the things that they ended up being grateful for after having those tough conversations?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, here's an example. I coached a client who had a job offer, but she didn't like how the prospective boss was communicating. The texts seemed to be short. She felt like she was being commanded. She didn't feel respected. So her question wasn't, how do I have this tough conversation? She was just going to run. I don't have tough conversations. I have tough monologues. I just share how it is, drop the bomb and run. And she said, I'm going to quit. I was like, well, let's just take a look. If there was a conversation, what would it look like? How would you like this guy to communicate with you? And would you like to give him a chance? So this was vulnerable for her. She said, no. And we looked into her fears. Because that's part of the process I take people through. What are you afraid of? Well, he's going to say I'm just too sensitive and that it's all me and it's got nothing to do with him. So I helped to address that fear. I said, okay, you might say, yeah, that could be right. I am sensitive. And would you be willing to change your communication? It's totally up to you. So she went and had the conversation. And what she was grateful for after that conversation was not that she got the job, because she did. She ended up taking the job and he was wonderful. And he was curious and he wanted to know how he could communicate better. What she was grateful for was that her reality changed. Mm. That she just thought this is how it is. And she went and took a risk and it shifted. And this guy shifted in her view of the world. And she got a new possibility out of it. So that's what she was grateful for, this learning about herself and how she's run from tough conversations. And now we'll see if she's open to having more. That's one example.
That's a beautiful example. And I love where it actually led to, what it actually led to. And it wasn't like the end result that we were thinking about. It was even more. And yeah. I really truly believe that after having these tough conversations, we can get to feeling grateful and to seeing the world differently.
You know, I just realized there's another example of an executive director, and you know, there are so many conversations that in the workplace that are awkward. And as we talk and we get into the session, we come up with, for example, he can't get time with his boss. His boss is so busy, he can't get time. So we looked at how can you enroll your boss? How can you stand up a little taller and have some dignity and just state your case? How can you maybe request a weekly 30-minute meeting with the boss so you don't have to chase every single week? So we looked at this tough conversation, and I think, you know, that's one of about 20 that we've looked at with him. But I think what he's grateful for is that he now is more self-expressed. He's more of a leader. This is a leadership move, having a tough conversation. Mm-hmm. So instead of him just complaining or suffering, He's actually being at cause in the matter. He's actually standing up for himself. Now, his boss might say no. His boss might say, no, I'm not going to do a regular meeting and you're going to have to keep chasing me. But at least he said his piece.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's most grateful for.
Yeah, I think this is great. And since most of our listeners, not all of them, but most of them are women, I think this is a big thing for women, because we as men usually tend to be more outspoken when it comes to these kinds of things. But just being able to speak your piece, I think can be really liberating and can lead indeed to more gratitude and to seeing the world differently. And when you go through that each day, it can really diminish the gratitude that you can feel. And I believe that by doing this, you can really get to a different level.
Yes. I think what happens is the human mind gets attached to the outcome. The mind says, if I have this conversation, I need it to go a certain way. For example, I just coached a manager yesterday and she wants to make a proposal to her boss and she was really nervous. And what she was nervous about in this tough conversation was that the boss would reject her ideas. So she was attached to how it goes. And I helped her realize that, or at least I helped her reframe to being a partner with her boss. She's going to stand in her dignity, speak her piece, and then get curious and see if maybe her boss has a better idea. And she'd never thought about that. But the mind gets attached to a result. It's got to go a certain way. I say, no, let's reframe it. Let's have the win be that you're speaking up. Your voice matters and you're speaking it into the world. You can't control what the world can do, but you can control what you say. I went to a conference with some pretty, I was going to say scary people. They're not really scary, but I was a little bit scared, like Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup for the Soul and John Gray from Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. These people are my peers at this event, and that was very confronting for me. And I made four bold requests at the event, and I realized later the win for me was not getting a yes. I mean, I did get a yes to one of those four bold requests, but that wasn't the win. The win was that I was self-expressed, and I feel grateful for that. I'm grateful for self-expression. I can't control the world, but I can control what I say. Oh, I'm going to write that down. I like that.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it's very powerful, because we feel we have the power, and these are the things that we can control. What we do, the fact that we speak out, we tell the things that we speak about, the things that we want to speak about. And from there on, of course, each one of us has his own or her own free will. But the fact that we got to do this really empowers us. But I also
yes.
wanted to get to other parts of you as a person, as a coach, of course. What do you feel gratitude is for you personally?
Well, the first thought is gratitude is a smile. And gratitude is putting your attention on what's good. Mm-hmm. I notice moments. The last 2 years I've been looking for a home base and traveling's fun and it's exotic, but it's not everything. And mm-hmm. after 2 years of it, I really needed a home. And now I just look out at the view sometimes, or I look up at the stars, or I see this morning I saw the sunrise and I feel it's like a moment of grace. And I say out loud, oh my God. And then I have a puppy it is one of the reasons I finally settled down with a house and got a car and everything, because you can't have a puppy if you keep traveling and changing countries. And I'll just, even in the middle of a day when my head hurts, or I'm feeling really tired, I'll lay down and play with her, and I'll have about 20 seconds of joy and gratitude. And the thought goes through my mind, I could just do this for the rest of my life. Even if everything else fell apart, I could just be with my puppy and life would be good. So those are moments of gratitude. I don't live in gratitude all the time, but there's a lot lately.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think it has to do with you exploring the other part, like the emotional part. And I'm saying that because it's really great that we as men are having this conversation that is more focused on the on emotions rather than on, I don't know, all kinds of rational things. And yeah, I think we also have this emotional part, even if it's not as expressed as it is with women, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I think it started changing in the 60s. Men started growing their hair long and smoking marijuana and playing guitar in the forest and talking about their emotions. Like, it started going in that direction. Perhaps some men went a bit far, and women started, you know, women loved it initially, and then some of them started complaining that we have spineless spiritual wimps in these men. I'm a big fan of David Data, who talks about this. And then the ultimate, that as far as I can see, is a man who has access to his emotions and can feel deeply and might weep at a sunset or the suffering of an animal, and yet has a strong back and would kill to protect if that was necessary. So that's my vision of ideal masculinity. I don't always reach it.
Yeah, well, it's great that we have a direction and that we're striving for balance and looking for ways to be in tune with our emotions, but also be manly men and be right. what we were destined to be in the world. But I also
wanted to
get to another point with you. I'm sure that in your life, getting to where you are professionally and personally, you've had all kinds of people that had their small or big impact. Can you name a few people that have impacted your life that you're grateful for?
I am grateful for my friend John Webster, who introduced me to so many teachers. He introduced me to Paul Lowe, who used to work with Osho, and taught me to speak my inner dialogue out loud. He introduced me to the Morehouse, which taught me about man-woman dynamics and what it's like for a woman to grow up in this world and how I can have more compassion and attention on that. And he introduced me to the Human Awareness Institute, which taught me how to open my heart and break down some of my terrified barriers. So I'm grateful for him. And then my friend Flavin Clayton introduced me to Byron Katie. And Katie taught me that the worst thing that can happen to me is a thought. So thought can take me out of gratitude, and thought can have me living in gratitude. And she gave me a simple process where I can examine any thought that's taking me out of gratitude and away from joy and see if it's true. And so far, I'm not sure that any thought that I've ever had that's been painful or joyful for that matter, is true. So I've learned that suffering is optional. And she's given me a great way to come back into gratitude. And something's been coming up for me the last few minutes. I wonder if I can share it.
Definitely.
The last few months I've been going into prisons and training the inmates in authentic relating practices and how to be more connected and how to have tough conversations. And I keep asking myself, why? Why do I keep doing it? I was volunteering. Now I get paid a little bit of money, but it's hard on my body and it's pretty intense to do it. And I go away for 2 days and I stay at an Airbnb and I'm away from my home and my puppy. And why am I doing it? And yesterday it occurred to me that one reason I might be doing it is because my life is so good. My life is so good, it's almost hard for me to let it in how blessed I am. And I think me being of service and giving something back is a way for me to express my gratitude and also just bring the tiniest touch of balance into the world.
Beautiful. I think it's a really beautiful perspective and a really powerful one. And I really appreciate how present you are and how deep you go when you speak. I can really see it and I can really feel it as well. And I really appreciate that you're able to do this, even though you have to go in a few minutes. And since we're nearing the end of our time together, let us know where our audience can find you and get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you. If you're interested in being more expressed, more powerful, and more of a leader, either for your team or your family or your community or yourself, then you can find me at playforreal.life. It's not a .com, it's playforreal.life. And you can find out about just-in-time team coaching for tough conversations. You can request a discovery session with me, see if you qualify for a free one, and subscribe to my podcast, Tough Conversations with David Wood. I'd love to have you join the community there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us. And if you have a closing thought for our audience, what you feel it would be interesting to end with.
It's not wrong to not feel gratitude. It's not wrong. It's the nature of the human mind to focus on what's not working. But you probably already know from listening to Georgian in this podcast that the more we can head towards gratitude and put our attention on what's working well, the more that can grow. So I'll end with a quote from the Morehouse: where there's appreciation, there's growth.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for sharing your presence with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks, Georgie. And I'm glad to meet you. I'm glad to know you.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.